This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Shady asks, what are bad habits you had and overcame, and how did overcoming them aid your growth as an entrepreneur?
Shady, good question. I think the things I overcame were big eyes, which was, hey, I'm gonna do a lot of things at once. Actually, I don't know if I've overcome it. I've gotten a little bit better. Definitely in this chapter of building VaynerMedia, I've overcome that issue. I've been really focused as CEO of VaynerMedia and general partner of VaynerRSC, so I've been really focused. And so, big eyes, just trying to do too many things at once, and what that's allowed me to do is be successful and build another big business instead of half pregnant across the board. I think the other thing that I've overcome is I've started, and I'm still not great at this either, these are always works in progress when it's not the thing that comes most natural to you, but I think what I've been doing well lately is I've been giving more honest, critical, direct to people's face feedback. I tend to be a little bit softer, I'm much more of a honey over vinegar guy, but our former managing director, Kelly, and AJ, the very straight shooter operators, they've moved me along. I've definitely evolved in that category. I'm definitely better at it. I still want to deal with a ton of empathy and heart and soul, but shooting it straight is bringing more value to me, and it's just speeding up the process of victory. Can't have a CEO. I'm very decisive, but boy, delivering bad news does not come natural to me, and I don't love it. And so, building infrastructure around me and then doing it myself has been an important evolution that I've done much better at VaynerMedia than I've done at Wine Library. And what that's given me is the thing that a lot of you know that I value, which is speed. Those two.
Cedric asks, how do you not procrastinate that well?
Here's a curveball. I actually think I'm an obnoxious procrastinator. While equally not being, meaning I stay in constant audit mode. Can I get a constant audit mode alert here? By the way, I have to watch yesterday's episode to see what you did with the alerts. Yesterday I had a lot of editing. I gotta watch it outright. I don't watch my stuff, by the way. It's a little fun fact for all of you. Sorry, D-Rock, get to see the great work. There's a ton of stuff that I procrastinate, and I think I'm a procrastinator, but what I think I also am is always leveling up whatever's most important and prioritizing it in real time. Team can tell you here, I bet you Steve's favorite inside joke is the mayo. Can somebody get me the mayo? Little Lou, get me the mayo. Watch this. This will answer your question perfectly, Vayner Nation, because the truth is I do procrastinate, but I'm adjusting to the reality of my life at the moment I'm living it. So if something is super important yesterday, I can literally decide that it's less important in an hour, predicated on what comes into my inbox or the meeting that I'm about to have right after this. And so the reason I think it feels like I'm not, and so much is getting accomplished, is my pants are on fire for the thing that I deem most important at this exact moment. And that is how it works over and over. Where's the mail? And over, I'm trying to stall here. And over, and over, and over again. Let's go to the next question, we'll get back to the mail.
Oh, here he is.
Okay, here he comes. Don't go, D-Rock. Leave all that, don't edit that, I'll be pissed. Matt, tell the Vayner Nation how...
What's up, world?
tell the Vayner Nation how often I'll send an email that will say, now this is top priority versus the next day, this is top priority. And then you get crippled by the notion of, hold on, if, like literally when I'm like, no, this is the number one priority in my life.
Tippy top priority is what
tippy top?
Tippy top priority. Probably every time you're on a flight, there's probably about 15 emails that come out.
And then you struggle with like, what's tippy top versus number one?
Yeah, unless you say tippy top priority.
Is that the new context?
That's what you've been using for the month.
All right.
So maybe we'll change in the new year.
Thanks, man. And that's what happens, right? Matt, my admin, he has to struggle through what is tippy-top priority of the moment because it might change tomorrow. So as long as you're executing something every day as a tippy-top in priority item, then you're moving the needle. And sure, something might have moved from second most important to fourth most important to ninth most important. Alex, you're dealing with this right now. A lot of things that you would have dealt with, like biz dev was like the most important. You can't get a minute from me because something has caused it to become the eighth most important thing versus the number one important thing. And then like there's a lot of serendipity. Steve's been waiting for this top six things at Wine Library for 4 days. I found a minute. I decided it was tippy top priority of that minute, and it just works that way at all times.
Sally asks, hey Gary, did you decide you wanted to sell your services to the big Fortune 500 companies versus consumers first and then come up with VaynerMedia? In other words, did you choose who you wanted to sell to first to maximize your profits and then come up with the business model?
So this is an interesting question. I'm a very big fan of counterpunching. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people lay out business plans, they know what they want to do, they go and do it, and they go raise money or they go and execute, and that's how they roll. In lieu of the tremendous fight this weekend, which it was boring to the masses, but it was a tremendous fight for me because 13 seconds in, I looked at AJ and said, this fight's over, because I couldn't believe how much faster Floyd was than Pacquiao. Watching them separately, I thought it'd be closer. I knew a second that he was that much faster, that the fight was over, because I know what kind of defensive fighter Floyd is, and I'm sure everybody gets bored and falls asleep rounds 7 through 12, but I'm just completely like infatuated with boxing and understood the chess moves that he was playing out in the ring and enjoyed that, even though I know it's not commercially rah-rah high energy. I view myself very similar as a businessman. I react. I play. It's funny. I feel like I'm on full offense. I feel like I'm 48-0 because I play great defense based on reacting. I can react to the market and adjust. The market started coming to me because I was writing Crush It, putting out videos around business, and amassing a large social media following. And big brands reached out to me and said, hey, you've got all these people, hey, we're a Fortune 500 company. We have 50 followers on Twitter. You have 400,000 followers. We've never heard of you. Come and teach us. Come explain. Plus moments in time. AJ was graduating from BU. It was time to do a business together. We were thinking about fantasy sports. We were thinking about other things. And so between timing and being reactionary to the demand cycle, I like responding to the demand that was in place. I was already playing in the space. It wasn't like I just made something up or there was demand for me out of left field that made no sense. My actions were setting up my counterpunch. I think it's a very strong model for business.
Soundspace asks, my business is completely digital, focused on exclusive and shareable content. How important are real life meetings?
Soundspace, to me, real life meetings matter because human beings make all decisions, right? Like, so far, thank God, the robots haven't taken over, but it's coming. But, hopefully, I don't think I'll see it, but it's coming. And so, while that's still the case, real life meetings matter because there's just so much context that can be done in human interaction that doesn't happen over digital. You can't map everything. I feel plenty of emotions over Twitter and things of that nature, but the energy in the room is lost, right? Like the energy in the room is lost. And so to me, that is the part that matters so much in the equation of real life. To me, I always say that digital is a gateway drug. Hey, Kim. Digital is the gateway drug to the human interaction. As a matter of fact, it's funny, not Andrew, who didn't know who the fuck I was, but a lot of the people here on the team, and Zach, but a lot of people here on the team, Andy, do you know who I was?
When I started Vayner or when I started the team?
That answered that question. There was a gateway drug happening before they got here, which created context, but then meeting in real life takes it to a whole nother level. You could work for the company and then you have a whole different context when you're on the team.
Q Studios Inc. asks, Gary V, as a successful solo entrepreneur, do I have to grow my business bigger than I can handle alone?
Q Studios Inc., it's a great question. I think the answer to that question is completely predicated on what you want in life. I mean, you've set up the question by saying you're a successful solo entrepreneur. Are you making the monies and are you fulfilled enough to keep it at a one woman, one man show? I mean, to me, I can't answer that for you. I just had an interesting conversation with AJ. Our professional ambitions are in a different place. Everyone's are. If you want to build a bigger business, you need to build it outside of one person. You can only be so big, but maybe what you're getting and what you've got and how it goes appeals to you. I find a lot of people not being able to be good managers. They love to micromanage. They're romantic and obsessive about what they do. They don't allow other people to come into their ecosystem, and they struggle with the growth curve, and they get just a little exponential growth. They go from making $73,000 a year to $113,000, but it comes with a lot of pain because they don't like it. They're introverted, they're solo acts, they're flawed in building out a big business, but incredibly good and happy at doing their thing. So it's not about, making more. There's really a fine line of like making more money, but giving up too much of your happiness for that bigger money amounts. And then there's probably a place where that money justifies what you want. But to me, doing what you love and doing it the way you love to do it is really, really, really important. I happen to be lucky that also creates wealth and big dollars, but for the people that it doesn't, they need to reconcile. And look, what I don't get is a lot of other things, which is, you know, kind of the relaxation or the lack of pressure that comes along with some of the smaller plays. But I can't answer this question for you. You need to know yourself. This goes back to all the self-awareness stuff that I'm trying to put out.
Benjamin asks, Gary, I want to start pushing people to make the same decision I made by leaving a very secure job to pursue their dream. My question is, will my employee retention rate drop? Since you started building up your personal brand, has your employee retention rate dropped?
Benjamin, the thing you need to understand is that intent trumps everything. And so I think one amazing thing in this company that I'm extremely proud of is I truly believe that these people that work at VaynerMedia really recognize that I want to win, but not at their expense. I want to buy the Jets, not at the expense of my employees, with my employees, and I equally want what's best for them. Of course, you know, I'm looking at these three, and things are running through my mind, and obviously I know them all at different levels, but like, you know, there's narratives in my mind that I can play out right now that leads to a world of them not being here. And that makes me sad, and I really don't want that. And from an ego standpoint, I truly believe that I can bring them so much value over the long haul that makes it interesting for them to stay. But I think it's massively important that they always deep down feel as though I want them to have what they want, even though optically it doesn't benefit me. And I would say 40% of VaynerMedia believes that. And that may surprise you as a low number, but I hope you understand the level of cynicism that is instilled in us as human beings to not believe everything I just said. And so I'm massively proud of the 40%, and I'm really pumped that I think that 40% was actually 12% only 12 to 18 months ago, and so I'm building momentum, right? I think if you're scared to lose somebody who believes in their heart that they have the skill set to go and do it, you're making a huge mistake. And I actually think you build retention by showing that than the reverse. It's a reverse psychology game that is not a tactic, because if you don't actually believe it, that reverse psychology will come across as bullshit and you'll lose it. I don't do it because I want to reverse psychology India. I do it because I believe it. And then they have to believe and evolve in their place. Like, you know, I believe that the evolution of people not being here is gonna have a lot more to do with things in life. They fall in love and get married and have to move because their spouse really needs to do this, and they have the empathy and being the bigger man and woman in a relationship to go let their spouse do that. Unfortunately, maybe something tragic. I actually think that when you're pure, when you want to win, but you wanna win with, not, you know, on the back of, people start sticking around. Because the truth is, if somebody works at a job, in a lot of ways, they weren't thinking purely, I'm gonna put this on my back to begin with, right? And you, and I don't know your age, is there a picture or is this a written word?
Oh, this is written.
You know, I don't know your age, but again, if you're over 30, you were sold on a world where it wasn't like, I'm gonna go do my own thing, right? So now that we live in that world, I actually feel that the kids that are going to work for companies now in lieu of entrepreneurship are truly not entrepreneurs. Back into that big argument of entrepreneur-like tendencies and entrepreneurship, I'll tell you right now, show me a 23-year-old that wants to work here, and I'll show you somebody who is got entrepreneurial tendencies but isn't pure entrepreneur. So I just think doing the right thing is always the right thing. And I think empowering your people to follow their dreams if they have one, if they think they're good enough, if they are willing to deal with the stress and all the dog shit that comes along with having all the pressure on your shoulder, then you know you empower them and root for them and try to be part of that narrative. But if they have tendencies, what you're doing is actually building a deeper relationship with that person. And actually, my belief is that percentage, you're creating longer term. I mean, the stickiness of this company is pretty intense, given the agency world's a tough place for stickiness. And so I'm very proud of that. And you know what I spew.
Tagline Tom wants to know, what are some easy ways to become more self-aware?
Tagline Tom, I think there's one hack for becoming more self-aware, which is asking people around you and creating a safe, zone, a permission for them to actually tell you about you from their perspective, and it's on you to create that safe place so that they actually tell you things that you may not want to hear. Because what I think could happen is that you get chipped away at, and I think that ultimately if you hear enough people say that you're too kind or too aggressive or full of shit or whatever it is, I think that that's the one place. That's the only hack I know. I don't think there's any other move. I think it's about getting people to tell you about yourself in safe environments, be aggressive about that, really seek out that feedback, and then be man enough, woman enough to eat it. Really. And the way you get more of it is when a friend of you says, I think you're a little full of crap. You know, you don't end that relationship. You triple down on that relationship because they're giving it to you. And that's, if you really want self-awareness, you need to wildly, if you want to hack self-awareness, I actually think it's predicated on having thick skin. I think that is why, I really think so much of what I pull off is predicated on how thick my skin is. My skin is thick. You know, I just can handle it. I just can. I hate it. I hate like reading like, you know, bad stuff about me. It's devastating, but I respect it. I can accept it. I understand it. And I try to use it as something that I go on the offense with going forward. And so there are learning moments. And so, if you could get over yourself, right? If, you know, and the funny thing is, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm so self-aware. I'm not sure. Even people that I think are not self-aware around me, it's funny to me how self-aware they really are. It's just, you don't let your brain accept your shortcomings.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.